Welcome to sermons from St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Minot, North Dakota.
St. Paul's is anchored in the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and for the world.
The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Kingdoms, yes, kingdoms. Kingdoms exist to provide security and maintain order for a particular nation. You see, without a kingdom, or without a government, if you will, citizens, well, they are subject to lawlessness, which then leads to widespread crime and violence. Yes, without a kingdom, anarchy breaks out. And then, insecurity, it abounds. Disorder then follows, deterioration of culture, and everything becomes unstable, leading to death and rape and theft and utter chaos. And so, kingdoms, in many fashions and forms, are very good. Kingdoms also sometimes exist to prop up the ego and narcissistic appetites of an evil tyrant. On the other side of the coin, that is right, a tyrant can come and establish their own personal kingdom through the abuse of power. Once they establish this kingdom for themselves, they'll often repress opposition and suppress criticism. They'll violate human rights, exploit the economy, and use propaganda. Many times they'll even expand their kingdom through military force, economic control, cultural manipulation, and fear of the sword. And so in the end, whether a kingdom is righteous or if a kingdom is unrighteous, and whether the leader of that kingdom is good or bad, kingdoms and leaders of the world, nonetheless, they all operate through what we would call earthly power. Indeed, earthly power. They all use military soldiers, police, guns, tanks, aircraft carriers, the death penalty, nuclear weapons, to name a few. The list can go on and on and on. They use these elements of force to establish and expand their kingdoms. Again, kingdoms of the world, they primarily use power and force to establish and enforce and expand their rule. Now, hundreds of years ago, kingdoms did not have the luxury of chemical weapons, tanks, nuclear weapons, and guns. However, they still applied force. In our reading from Zechariah this morning, we hear about chariots and war horses and battle bows. Like tanks and nuclear weapons, bombs and missiles, these two were weapons of war. Chariots and war horses and battle bows were used by worldly kingdoms to establish and enforce and expand worldly kingdoms. Again, these things were instruments of force, instruments of power used by kingdoms. Now, with all of this mentioned, one would think that the kingdom of God would implement the same tactics of force and power. One would actually think that Christ would apply the same amount of power to usher in his kingdom that day long ago, that day as he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. However, instead of the chariots, instead of battle horses and battle bows, we see in a reading of the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey with humility while branches were laid on the road. And so, perhaps at an initial glance, one might be led to say something to the effect, indeed somebody may be led to say something to the effect as they look at Jesus coming in that Palm Sunday long ago. What a worthless kingdom of incredible weakness. This display of, well, softness by Jesus will surely not establish any kind of lasting kingdom. This meek entrance will not enforce any kind of rule or expand any kind of dominion. This puny kingdom will be a short-lived puff of sappy and sentimental drama, and that is it. It cannot last without force. It cannot last without power. There are others who may say, looking to that Palm Sunday, perhaps this kingdom of Jesus has some good grass roots, but needs a touch of power to make it work. Maybe if we get Jesus a battle horse instead of a donkey and a battle bow instead of a palm branch, this kingdom might have some potential. Yes, it might have some potential. Tragically, this is often what happens to the kingdom of God, even in our present day. You see, there are a whole host of people in our world right now trying to establish their versions of a religious kingdom in the name of God himself. And so take your pick, whether it is ISIS or the Taliban or Boko Haram or the Hamas, Al-Qaeda, radical Zionists, zealous fascists, radical end-time nationalists, or even segments of the radical religious right. All of these groups alike have visions of a religious kingdom in this world that can only, now here's the key, that can only be established and maintained and expanded by the use of power and force. To the point, all of them are fighting for you and for me to join their cause, to usher in the kingdom of God. And all that we must do is give of our resources and perhaps give of our own blood, and then with a bit of force, a utopic kingdom can be realized in our midst right now. There's only one problem, though. God Almighty says quite clearly that those who put their trust in chariots and battle horses go the way of false hope. You heard that correctly. Those who put their trust in battle horses and chariots go the way of false hope. Indeed, trusting in the power and force of chariots and war horses and battle bows makes a person naive at best and, well, stupid at worst. Listen up, my friends, very clearly this morning. God tells us that we are delusional. He tells us that we are delusional if we rely on battle horses for safety. We will always be disappointed if we put our trust in the might of mankind to save us. Consider for a moment, if you will, all the great emerging kingdoms throughout every generation. Let's just rewind the clock and look at a little bit of history. The Assyrians, you perhaps have heard of them before, they ruled for 200 years in the Middle East. And then the Babylonians, they came right after them. Then the Persian Empire came about under Cyrus, and soon became the largest empire of its time. Then the Greeks emerged with Alexander the Great. Yes, Alexander the Great. And then who can forget the Roman Empire that came after that? And then let us not forget, as we move eastward, the Mongol Empire, the Russian Empire, and then later on the German Empire, and so forth. Empire after empire after empire. In other words, all of these empires were great. They're magnificent and powerful kingdoms of force and power. Through force, through bloodshed, through chariots and war horses and battle bows and swords and bombs and nuclear weapons, they became the greatest kingdoms of the world. However, there's just one problem. They all failed. Indeed, they all failed. Indeed, some put trust in chariots, my friends, and some put their assurance in battle horses, but in the end, the point still remains, they all fail. And so when we put our trust in these chariots and battle horses and battle bows, we're misguided because every single ruler and kingdom is like an actual mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes in thin air. Puff, it's gone. So what does all this mean with respect to Jesus Christ and his kingdom, that kingdom of God? First, let's be perfectly clear that the kingdom of God does not need our help to be established. It does not need our help to be sustained and advanced. Jesus intentionally came to Jerusalem that Sunday, that Palm Sunday, long ago, on a donkey. And you see, there was no white horse that he was riding upon. Jesus was not flashing some sort of sword, waving it in the air. There was no military parade displaying earthly power. Instead, Jesus, he came into Jerusalem with complete meekness on a donkey. Indeed, in Christ, there were no earthly displays of power, no earthly displays of force. Now, it's important to keep in mind and understand that when we say the word meek, what that word meek actually means. When we say that Jesus is meek, we're not saying that he is somehow a coward or that he's insecure. No, when the Bible uses the word meek, it does not mean mousy. It is not used in a bad sense. Instead, when the word meek is used in the Bible, it means that a person is not easily moved to rage or anger by a little insult. It means that a person is not easily ruffled or knocked off their guard by frantic fear or worry. It means that they're not easily irritated or provoked to loud, passionate reactions. Simply stated, the word meek means that a person is spiritually, mentally, emotionally composed and strong. So in Christ, in Jesus, we have complete power. We have complete might. Yet here is the kicker. He does not display any earthly visible displays of power and might. Why? Why, you might ask? Why does not Christ display any complete power and might? Because his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. You see, baptized saints, your Jesus does not need a military. Your Jesus does not need police and guns and tanks and aircraft carriers or nuclear weapons to establish and enforce or expand his kingdom. He's not interested in propping up his ego or becoming a narcissistic tyrant who will exploit the economy and expand his kingdom through economic and cultural manipulation. Your Jesus has no need of a chariot to conquer. He has no need to use a chariot to conquer Rome. He does not need a sword to display his power and his political might over Caesar. And so listen now. Listen very carefully. Jesus chooses a donkey. He chooses a donkey over a chariot. He chooses nails over a sword. He chooses a cross over a throne. He chooses thorns, yes, thorns over a crown. And he chooses death over an earthly perishing kingdom. Indeed, he chooses death over an earthly perishing kingdom. Baptized saints, his kingdom is not of this world, for it is an everlasting kingdom. It is not a finite kingdom like all the other evaporating kingdoms of this world. And so God's kingdom does not need our help in being established. His kingdom does not need our force to be applied to it, to be sustained. The kingdom of God does not require our power, for it is, well, it is enduring. It's been established already through the life and the death and the resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that has conquered death itself, neutered the evil one, and atoned for sin itself. At the end of the day, no earthly kingdom has ever been able to conquer sin, death, and the devil, which is why these kingdoms are not everlasting. And so, chins up this morning. Yes, chins up, baptized saints, with a little bit of smile, with your chin up, a smile combined with confidence and assurance right now. You see, you and I, we do not put our ultimate trust into kings and politicians and rulers who cannot save us from sin, death, and the devil, for they do not have what it takes. When they die, their kingdoms die with them. But in Christ, your king and your kingdom, when he died and when he rose, his kingdom was established forever, and that was done for you. You hear that? That was done for you. And so this morning, we behold our king mounted on a donkey going to his bloody cross, this Mount Calvary, to establish his kingdom forever for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon.
You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog
at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit St. Paul's website
at www.stpaulsminot.org.
The Lord bless and keep you.